it's high towards the play there. Walsh got there ahead of him though. On care plays it back in again. And no offside. And Taylor has scored. And that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now.
Hello and welcome to a very special Washbag podcast as we celebrate 20 years since the Division 1 playoff final win against Leicester City and promotion to the Premier League. I'm Ron Smith. I'm joined by Washbag writer Brendan Hobbs. Hi there, Brendan.
Hello.
Obviously responsible for the press watch. Hopefully that comes back soon. And also all of our sort of great graphics on the site.
Yeah.
Also, I'm joined by a winning member of that illustrious team. Not just that team, but a true legend of Swindon Town and most successful period. He made 505 appearances for Swindon, putting you third in the all-time list. Welcome, Fraser Digby.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Like I said, we're here to talk about the 93 playoff campaign. It's sort of quite many years ago now, difficult to sort of remember success at last for the town after the events of 1990. Yeah. We won't sort of gloss too much on that. But sort of town's form into that, going into that playoff campaign was a little bit sort of patchy towards the end. I think I remember sort of one win, seven. Although that one win was at Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most incredible game I think I've ever played in Birmingham. You know, it was, I think, you know, the nerves had probably got to the lads. You know, it was, you know, we'd played well. I mean, it was a funny season all round, you know, because obviously that season I'd been made a bit of a scapegoat by Glenn early on in the season and got dropped. And then I went to Old Trafford for 2 months. And then Glenn called me back, which I wasn't necessarily happy about because I was enjoying my time.
Yeah, I bet
sat on the bench with Schmeichel, and the thing was we had a win. I think out of 9 games, I think I had 10 games. I was there. I think we won 9 and drew 1, so the win bonus was great. So it did help.
Yeah.
But obviously Glenn called me back beginning of January. I think we just played Coventry at Old Trafford, beat them about 5-1. I think. And then Alex Ferguson said, you know, Glenn's been on the phone, he wants to take you back. I said, do I have to go back? No, joking. He said, you've got to go back. So I went back, and I remember then we had a bit of a purple patch. We had some good results. Yeah. But then, like you say, the last couple of months to the end of the season, there was a too few is for results. But going back to the Birmingham game was an incredible game. You know, we got 2-0 down quite early on, I think, and then just after half time, I think Sean Taylor went off to get patched up, running repairs on Sean, or the old stitches, I think. Then he'd come back on with his bandage, and we'd gone, I think we were 4-1 down with about half an hour to go. And then I don't know whether Glenn come on that game, did he? I can't remember. Can you remember?
Because I remember, all I remember is Taylor coming back on, and didn't he score straight away pretty much with a header when he was
which made it 2-1.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but then they scored 2 goals in quick succession just after half time. Yeah.
Well, at this point, I mean, I've watched plenty of games on YouTube, but I completely forgot to watch the Birmingham one.
Yeah. I did watch it not long ago, but it was incredible. Yeah, no, because then we've gone on and scored, you know, what we ended up 6-4.
Yeah, 4-4 in a row.
David Mitchell grabbed, was he at the hat trick?
I think so.
But also in that sort of, end of the season, obviously we sort of were to eventually face Tranmere, and of course we were beaten 3-1 up at Prenton Park during that period. Did you go to any of those games at the end of the season, Brendan?
I didn't go to that one. I was very close to going to the Barnsley game, the away game, the last game of the season, because we thought that'd be a bit of a party atmosphere. But I can't remember what happened, but there was some reason why we didn't go, which of course was sort of a 1-0 reverse against a very sort of lowly placed, I think, Barnsley team at the time.
Yeah, we never do well against Barnsley.
No.
Never do well against Barnsley.
No. But it was quite a scratch side, which I remember doing when I did the Tranmere article the other week. I looked up the team and it was a very much a changed team. In fact, that season, I don't think I went away that often. The one game that sticks in my mind, I think when we won 1-0 at West Ham, I think, when we were pounded for...
Yeah.
Thing. I think Nicky Hammond was in goal that day, so it probably might not have been a good one to bring up.
I can't remember. Was that West Ham? Because normally, I mean, at West Ham, I've always said that's probably been my best team to play against.
Yeah,
in all my career, West Ham, I probably had all my best games against West Ham for some reason.
It was a Martin Ling deflected free kick, I think, that's won it. I think I remember that much.
better memory than me anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember either, so I'll pass on that one. Getting too old.
So at the end of the season, Swindon finished fifth, 76 points. Despite that sort of end of season dip, I mean, at one point Town were really pushing for that sort of second place and could have got there.
Yeah.
A couple of points picked up. I mean, in the end, it was Portsmouth who just missed out on automatics. They're actually level on points with West Ham with, I think, about 88 points, but just lost it on goals scored. I mean, they were a good team back at that point.
Yeah.
They finished third. Tranmere sort of surprised. I mean, they themselves have sort of flown up through the leagues.
Yeah.
Is it John King, the manager?
John King.
Sort of, you know, they pretty much avoided relegation to the conference. And then, you know, 4 years later, they were pushing for promotion to the Premier League. Mm. So they did a fantastic job. Finished fourth. Swindon finished fifth. Leicester finished sixth. 76 points, also level with Swindon, but scored less goals. So obviously it meant Swindon drew Tranmere Rovers in that first leg at home at the County Ground that day. I remember watching it on the TV. It was sort of Central Match Live, as it was in those days.
Yeah.
And Alan Parry and John Sillett, we had the pleasures of listening to their
John
commentary.
Sillett, every time we were on the telly, I don't think John Sillett's ever said anything kind against me. I don't know.
No, I mean,
he must have been one person that used to rub me up the wrong way.
Well, I mean, he didn't really have much of the commentary. It was more sort of just sound like a bloke in the pub with sort of golfing problems. Really, didn't add much to it. I mean,
no,
remember at one point that commentary, Alan Parry said that you potentially one of the best keepers outside the Premier League.
And then John Sillett probably gave me some grief on the bottom side of it. I don't know. I just, you know, when you always get a bad feeling about certain people. John Sillett was one of those. Didn't like him. Don't know why. Never met the bloke in my life, to be fair, but just give me the ump, I think.
Oh. But it's weird watching back the old videos. Grateful for Richard Banyard on swindontownfc.co.uk to publish them in the last couple of weeks. Great, he's published some full match highlights and watching some of the old adverts, PG Tips and Monkeys Drinking Tea and old adverts and stuff. But
actually, I remember them more than I remember the games.
Right? Yeah, we'll get too much detail. But I mean, that match was a fantastic start for Swindon.
Mm.
I mean, I've never seen a Swindon game like it. You know, 2-0 up in the first 3 minutes.
Mm.
I mean, Brendan, you wrote the article on the website.
The crowd seemed to be... It was an amazing atmosphere because obviously the Stratton Bank being all stood up was just a fantastic sight when that was absolutely packed. And Tranmere bought, you know, a good allocation as well. And we just started. And I think getting the early goal kind of just settled us down and the crowd just got even louder. And of course, we then got the second one straight away.
Mm.
And, you know, I was thinking, wow, this is going far too well. We're really going to sort of kick on from here. And of course, then with Tranmere, that goal disallowed John Aldridge trying to push on Nicky Summerby. Now,
that's right in front of you.
It didn't look, and when I watched it again, I didn't see a foul.
Do you know what? I've not. Yeah, I'm going to say I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you what happened there.
Is that just John Aldridge? Is, you know, just want to forget him basically? Or?
No, he's all right actually, John. Do you know what I mean? Because although he wasn't when we played in the second leg, when he tried to say that certain ball was over the line, and it certainly wasn't.
Yes. I've got.
But he did. But he did have a little chuckle on that anyway. So we'll talk about that when we get to it. Do you know what? I don't even remember they scored. To be fair, I didn't even know it was a disallowed goal.
No. It was a bullet header. Yeah, it was no chance. It was one of those where he missed sweetly, and you know. But the referee straight away indicated the push. And
you just stood there.
To be fair, I haven't watched the game since we played it.
No.
I don't watch. Honestly, I don't watch.
No.
You know. Any I've not watched the Wembley game again.
Mm.
None of the games I've ever played in, I've watched again.
No. I mean, what?
Strange, isn't it, really?
When do you think you would?
I don't know. I've probably got them all on VHS video, so probably won't be able to put them on. I need to put them onto DVD, but I've got a lot of stuff that I've got on video that I've never watched again.
Yeah.
Mm. They say that about all the great musicians. They never listen to their own music, do they? So it's something similar to that.
It's funny because I've never. I don't know. It's like when you look at yourself on the telly, you cringe. Like, you know what I mean? And I never, you know, there are one or two little bits. Like we're talking about West Ham, because I always have good games against West Ham. When we played them in the cup, that was probably the best game that I've ever had. That one.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched the highlights of that when somebody put it on Twitter. I've watched that one. you know. And,
oh yeah, I remember that one.
That was the FA Cup game.
Yeah,
was
yeah. Yes, fantastic.
And then
yeah.
somebody else has put something kind. I think we played Blackburn away, and it was somebody else I know doesn't live in Swindon, and he said, "Oh, I didn't realise you're a decent keeper." And so I ended up watching that clip that he'd been watching on YouTube, and Ozzie Ardiles was playing for Blackburn, because obviously we played Blackburn in the semi final of the playoffs.
Yeah.
In 90, didn't we?
Yeah,
so
two great games.
So I watched that, and I actually made a couple of good saves in that. Was great. So yeah, so I, you know, as I say, I don't watch things again very rarely.
Because no, I remember in that away game, I went to that away game at Ewood Park, which was just a crumbling mess compared to what it is now. It was an awful place, and I remember you making one save really low down from a header. I think it was from what's his name, Simon Garner or someone.
Yes,
from, yeah, and you made an absolute.
Yeah.
And that was when it was, I think Foley had already scored to put us two up, I think it was. And it was, and I think that just, if that had gone in, the tide might have turned and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't remember. I remember almost breaking my ankle going down the terrace when Foley scored that volley. But it's about as little of memory as I have.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't tell you. Just don't remember a lot of the games.
So back to the Tranmere game, and Town were 3-0 up by half time on that first leg.
Yeah.
I mean, what the first goals? I mean, the first one was a Steve Vickers' own goal, bullet header, completely beat Eric Nixon.
Yeah.
Funny enough, Eric Nixon, on the actual commentary, Alan Parry said that he was the best goalkeeper outside the Premier League.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that. Still.
And then the second goal, being basically back 3 years ago. I mean, the PA announcer rarely sort of said it was an own goal, and the ball was already back in the net again. Nick Mitchell in there, quite quick to react, and 2-0 up. Then it was the disallowed goal. Covered that already. And then 28 minutes, Town were 3-0 up. This was the one which, I mean, you had the clip,
yes.
the screenshot
yes.
on the blog about all the Tranmere players were complaining about the offside decision wasn't given in their favour. You know, I've never seen a line played so high, basically, in the Town half, practically.
When that still I put, that there was you're supposed to have, you know, the back four. But I think it was even Pat Nevin looked like he was playing left back that day. But it was just all completely, they weren't in a straight line. And of course, because it was almost like an assist from you, Fraser, because you did the kick and poor old Steve Vickers miscontrolled it. And Maskell leapt upon it and played a great ball through. But the hands were up in the air. They were, you know, appealing for offside. And when Mitchell squared that ball to Maskell, he just wasn't bothered. He just ran off towards the linesman to complain for the offside, and it was remarkable, really.
And then, basically, Steve Vickers involved in all the three goals, which is pretty, you know, for various sort of mistakes and that.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, half time. I mean, what would, you know, Glenn would, what would he have said to you in those days? So 3-0 up at half time.
Just to keep playing as we were, because we were never, any of the teams I've ever played in, we've never been great at defending a lead, you know. So we've always been better to just keep playing and keep attacking, you know. And that's the way that he'd have played it, you know.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, he never used to get, you know, out of his cage on anything. He used to be quite relaxed, and you know, because the thing was, is he's obviously in the middle of us anyway, so if anything needed changing, that was a good thing, because Glenn could change it while he was on the pitch. He was tactically very, very astute, and he knew where he needed to be, and he was great from that respect.
Yeah.
Was there any good cop, bad cop from Glenn and John Gorman?
Well, Glenn was, we all had our moments with Glenn, because Glenn was very, everything was black and white. There was never any grey areas. He was right and the rest of us were wrong. So if anything did happen and he went bang, then John would always be there to put his arm around some of the lads, and just, you know, he was the good cop and Glenn was the bad cop, you know. Glenn was very aloof as such, you know. He discussed with the players what he needed to, but he would never, you know, John was the one that would look after the players and more in touch with the players. Glenn would just say, right, this is what needs to be done. Do as I say, sort of thing.
I mean, straight after half time, it was Dave Mitchell had a header, I think it was. It just struck the crossbar. Town so unlucky not to go 4-0 up. And then pretty much, you know, the rest of the game just sort of plodded along.
Out of it, didn't it?
Pretty much. Tranmere sort of got a lot back better in the game. I mean, that led to their goal. I think that were, what was that, 58 minutes that they scored. It's a fantastic, looking back at the video. I don't know what you remember of it, Fraser. But,
no, I don't.
I mean, do you want to describe that one, Brendan, Jim?
Well, I mean, I was directly sort of in line because I was on the old Shrivenham Road terrace, and so I was sort of directly in line with sort of, John Morrissey was between me and the far post, and he did. I mean, he was always, whenever he played against us, he was always quite a menace, and he always had the odd trick up his sleeve.
No, he did, to be fair. He's a good player.
Yeah, yeah, and he turned Bowden a treat and curled it, and the curl was so wicked.
Mm.
I mean, it looked like it was one of those that was going wide that you would have not been surprised if it had come off the hoardings and bounced back into play, but
it
clipped the inside of the post, which just gave you no
shot,
chance.
It? Yeah.
And it was low as well, and if it had been a bit higher...
You got half a chance.
Yeah, but it was so low as well, and... Yeah, when that went in, I must admit, I did think, that's the one thing we didn't want to concede was almost like the away goal.
Away
dreaded
goal.
Away
no,
goal.
Exactly.
It's interesting on that one, just seeing the quality of the shot, and then straight away Calderwood was around it, at you, having a go at you. And I was thinking, watch
no
that one back.
Chance.
Yeah, well, that's a typical centre-back. It used to give me grief all the time, do you know what I mean? It's called deflection. They still do it today, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Glenn was good at that. I always remember that's the last game I played before I went to United was Oxford, and it was his fault for not heading the ball, and he turned around and berated me because the ball went in the back of the net and I was on the floor at the time, hang on. So that's it. They taught that centre backs when they're at school how to berate a goalkeeper when it's your fault, just deflection. Deflect.
Fraser.
Yeah.
So more chances for Rovers, but fortunately they didn't get that second away goal. I mean, away goals then didn't count until after extra time, I think, they did count then. Watching the video again, it's quite strange. I didn't realise that Ronnie Moore was actually assistant manager for Tranmere then, in those days. He was on the bench.
I didn't either.
A couple of other things that were sort of watching the old video that sort of sorely missed now, supporters in the stands waving like that when a throwing's being taken.
The cameras.
Sorely missed.
The cameras.
Doesn't happen now. Does it mean we should bring that back?
Yeah.
People with placards, they just want to be on the telly, you know.
The town end looked very odd as well because everyone was sat down.
Yeah.
And that was like really jarred when the camera went towards,
you
know, and then everyone was just sat there and you think,
that doesn't look right, does it? No.
Fraser did be wearing very, very small children's shorts, but we won't go into
that. Yeah, tell me about it. I won't get in them now, will I? They'll be struggling on them.
Yeah. And the good old West Match quizzes in and out of the adverts, which is always quite good. Oh, and also face paint. You know, that's sort of something else has gone missing from supporters nowadays. Mm. But anyway. But I mean, sort of, you got a 3-1 lead, Fraser. Second leg still to go. I mean, there's a couple of days between the two games.
Yeah,
how do you keep yourself sort of motivated? How does the team keep yourself motivated for that? How do you build up for it?
To be fair, you just took it as half time. Do you know what I mean? That's all you took it at. You know, it was just half time. All right, we've got a lead, but we've got to go back. We've got to. You know, Glenn basically got over to us. It's 0-0.
Yeah,
we've got to go out and win the game. Simple as that. So there was no resting on your laurels. You know, when you've played one game, it's like this year with the lads. It was quite interesting to watch. You know, their reaction. You know, with the first game after Brentford, although we didn't have a long turnaround, so you don't get time to think. You know, you get recovery the next day, and then you're off again for the next game. So it's just like playing just quick successions over Christmas. You know, it's just that sort of feeling. You know, you knew it was a big game, but you just treat it the same as any other game, really.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, when you knew, because obviously Tranmere. Obviously, scored against Town before. You know, their 3-1 victory over Town a couple of weeks before at Prenton Park. It was a tricky, tricky place to go for that second leg.
No, it was.
Definitely needed two goals to take it to extra time, and then they'd win it on the way goal, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But then, as you say earlier, what Town were good at then, scoring goals.
Yes.
So, you know, Tranmere knew that they're going to have to score quite a few, but they did have a good game.
Mm. Yeah.
Home advantage, whatever it is. But in the end, it was Town who got the first goal.
Yeah.
John Moncur, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, it was another quick break, like some of the ones in the first leg. Quick break, Town ahead. I don't know what the minutes are on this one, actually. I can't quite remember. But then, you know, Tranmere got a goal back, and then it was pretty much an onslaught.
It was back against the wall after that, because
that was just on half time, I think, the equaliser, which is always must be quite difficult, mustn't it, when if a team gets that level of just at half time.
Yeah, because then they go in, you know, with the tails up as such, going in for the half time break, and you know when you've got to be careful that, you know, our lads didn't sort of like any negative thoughts to start the second half. We needed to come out quick and hopefully get another goal. But I can't remember how the goals went. How do we go in the second half?
Well, second half. Well, the first thing that happened was that save. Fantastic one. And watching it, the footage actually on the That's Football documentary.
Yeah.
In terms of, and that's great because it's actually got the. The cameraman was on the other side, reverse side.
Yeah.
So you actually and video, you know, you get a perfect view, proving that it definitely didn't go.
Oh, it definitely took, because John Aldridge was there and he was give it up and put, you know, his hands in the air, it's a goal and all that. Yeah. And I looked up at him and said, John, you can off. I said, you know full well that went over the line. And I was laughing at him, and to be fair, he was laughing back. I don't know whether he even bundled me into the goal as well at the same time, but no, yeah, that was the merest of fingertips on that one.
It was a professional appeal, I thought, by all of you. Because not everyone did. And it was like, you know, I'm going to cheerlead this one. This is, you know, we need to sway the ref here. But
exactly.
So I think it's Paul Durkin that day.
That was it?
No, it definitely didn't sway him. Or Lino, great shout to see that. But also great save for
us. Cheers. It was at the time.
One of many.
It was probably... But then looking back at all the saves I've made, it was probably the best save I've actually made in my career. But also probably one of the most important ones as well.
Yeah. Well, it's just such a crucial time because, I mean, as you say, you know, Swindon keeps going, but Tranmere were so dominant then. And they did go 2-1 ahead on that leg. It was one where you went a bit wandering... but there was a thing, a foul on you in the build-up.
There was something. I can remember something.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we weren't happy about.
But Pat Nevin
sort of miscued it almost. Yeah. It looked, you know, he didn't seem to get a good connection, and I think it was almost the fact that he didn't hit it well that kind of carried it past. I don't know if it was Sean or Colin that was back there trying to stop it, and that's what beat him. Really.
But that's what you find, though. You know, you end up getting beaten by shots that aren't. If someone hits a clean shot, you tend, even with a goalkeeper, you save a lot of them because you read it cleanly.
Yeah.
Someone mishits it, and then it just puts you on the wrong foot, and then invariably they go in.
But I mean, you know, at that point, the Tranmere crowd really thought that they were going to be pushing ahead, would get that 3-1, take it to extra time.
Yeah.
Again, another quick break. Mitchell Maskell, I can't quite remember who kicked the through ball up there. Mitchell over on the right hand side crossed it over to Maskell. He's acres of space. Jinx, you know, shoots at the keeper. Keeper parries the ball, comes out to him, does a little shimmy, jinx around him, and then
genius,
knocks him in. But it was just the whole sort of movement of his body to kind of feign the keeper, knock it in. But that was fantastic. You weren't there, were you, that game? Phil obviously did the blog for us on that one.
Yes,
But just, you know, the Swindon fans up there, I remember listening to that game on the radio.
Yes, I was in a pub listening to it on the radio because I had to work and couldn't go up. It's very disappointing. But, that was right in front of the Swindon fans. Yeah. And I think, that was just... I think when that one went in, you know, I did allow myself a little bit thinking this is going to be it. But, of course... wasn't because
they got another goal
and they scored again, didn't they?
Yeah.
Hoddle at fault. Did he blame you that time, or did he blame someone else?
It's the most
blatant penalty.
It was. But he just held his hands up and that was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You couldn't do any more than that, could you, really?
Kenny Irons took the penalty, thumped it down to your left.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know what you do with say Wes now, but back then, did you have much knowledge of the opposition?
No, you don't. The thing is now is that you have every goal, everything that happens is all on TV. So with Wes this year, you know, I was able to record all the goals that have gone in and all the penalties and. But if you're a decent penalty, like the fella that scored for Walsall, you know, he changed his, you know, one week he did it one way, the next week he did it the other way, then he did it the other way. You know, he was, you know, if the decent penalty takers, they'll know that and they'll change it. So I think it's just the look of the draw, which way you go, you know. If you have the look at the right time, then you make the save.
Yeah. So Town won, well, they lost the game 3-2,
yeah,
but they won 5-4 on aggregate. Trip to Wembley in the offing, watching the you know, the celebrations on the, you know, that's football sort of documentary on the match highlights as well. But I mean, Brendan, it was, you know, after what happened 3 years before, to get back to Wembley again, have another sort of fighting chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny because the first Wembley trip against Sunderland, I was pretty confident because we were playing really good football and we were on a real roll. And but against Leicester, Leicester were one of those teams that always seemed to have sort of an Indian sign over us. I think we won 1 in 8 in the last few league counters.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we had more players sent off than we scored goals against them. So I really wasn't that confident. And it was quite strange because as my friend Phil said in his blog, he was pleased because we weren't placing his then hometown club of Portsmouth.
Mm.
Whereas I was not, because I just knew Leicester. They always seemed to beat us, and I was not confident that it was them. And I went there just a wreck, basically. From the moment I got there to when the final whistle went, I was in a nervous wreck the whole time. It's awful, really.
I mean, it's a weird time for me because, I mean, I was only, oh, I was at the time sort of 11 or something. I was in the scouts or... And that bank holiday weekend was that when we were on our sort of scout trip down to Dorset. So we were down sort of in Isle of Purbeck or somewhere, I think we were. And I was going to be missing the game. So we got tickets beforehand. We all went up in the minibus, sort of about 10 of us, from Dorset. And it was such a weird trip because I missed all the build-up in Swindon at the time and all the sort of excitement. Everyone going down the M4 sort of together, scars out windows, etc. But I mean, sort of, you know, there's been a bit of a break between the two.
Semi-final, yeah,
and that,
yeah.
I mean, did Glenn and John do anything with the squad? Take you away anywhere? What was the sort of
build up was just trying to keep everything as per normal.
Yeah,
you know, obviously there'd be interviews, there'd be other stuff. You get the Wembley suits and do all that.
Yeah.
You know, there was all the usual stuff that you needed to do. But apart from that, it was trying to keep everything exactly the same as what we'd been doing the rest of the season. It was just another game, you know. Obviously, there's a lot more on it, but that's what Glenn tried to do, just keep everyone grounded.
But does it work amongst us? I mean, obviously, you're excited. I mean, you've been at Swindon at that time for sort of 7 or 8 years, haven't you?
I think it does to a certain... I mean, it depends what lads... But most of the lads were pretty decent sort of players anyway, and they were, you know, they were quite level-headed. So I think, you know, everything was just the same. You know, you train the same, you do exactly the same things, your preparation was exactly the same, you know, but it wasn't until you got on that coach to go to the hotel that, you know, you knew this was going to be a bit, you know, a little bit different, a little bit more special. And then when you get on the coach to go to Wembley, then that's when the nerves really start to kick in.
Yeah.
And you saw the ones who used to get really excited because the nerves come out too much, and then the ones that were really quiet, they do their thing. You know.
What were you then, Fraser?
I was always really quiet. You know, I still am today. I keep myself to myself, and, you know, I go over things. I always go over things in my head, you know. What I've got to do, how I've got to be, and I think that's how I was. You know, I always kept things well in inside myself. You know, and then you got a few other lads that got hyper excited, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? And it's just
not that. Naming any names then, but
no, I'm not going to name any names. But you used to get one or two that got, you know, a little bit excited, sort of thing. You know, but generally everyone was quite Glenn, because Glenn was a bit dour in some respects. You know what I mean? He was very quiet. He never used to get too wound up with anything, so I think that's the way he wanted it. You know, he wanted everyone to be like that.
Well, that sort of, you know, rubbed off well on the team.
Yeah, I think it did. you know.
Somebody with excited Paolo, maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know where I could work with them, to be fair. But then you look at the characters in the team, your Sean Taylors, your Paul Bowden, your Colin Calderwood. They're all grounded level individuals, do you know what I mean? So, you know, so I think that did help.
Yeah.
You know.
An experienced team as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a decent lineup there.
One of the other things about the build-up was Where We Belong. Did you buy a copy, Brendan?
No, I didn't. But on the way to the game, we were stuck on a dual carriageway with a car next to us that was playing it full belt for about 15 miles, just constantly. Every time we'd be catching up with it, and they'd be there, and the guy was singing it in the front seat, and he had almost had tears down his face as he was there going, "Oh, where are we?" But you know, he was really belting it out, and yeah. That didn't help my nerves.
But it was a sort of emotional there. I mean, you know, the lyrics of the song is obvious, isn't it? What the connotations, what it means.
No, exactly. Exactly. Glenn loved doing that anyway, because it was like, you know, Diamond Lights Revisited.
Yeah.
Like him and Chris, he took over that day, Glenn, because I know...
Was that recorded between the semi-final and the final, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. Because it was Danny and Lynn, we know them really well. You know, my wife's been out to Spain because they live in Spain now. So I've been out to see them in Spain. They still do the clubs in Marbella. They do a lot of those and that. I mean, she's got a great voice, Lynn, actually, you know what I mean? But yeah, so Glenn really got into that. He just took over. Yeah.
Did you get into it?
We were like basically backroom singers. Yeah. Glenn was.
I couldn't hear you on it. But.
No, you wouldn't. I turned my mic right off.
So obviously we've gone through a bit of the build up and the final itself. There that day at Wembley, it was a lovely sort of bank holiday, wasn't it?
Mm.
Bank holiday Monday. Mm. I haven't seen them. I was there that day, but. Haven't been able to get hold of any sort of full match highlights. I know Richie's going to be posting some quite soon. That'd be really good to watch. But so I've only been able to see the video. I mean, I just remember it just being quite a nervous sort of start to the game. Really, it was sort of a bit of a slow start.
No, it was. It was because the thing was is you know there was 77,000 people there in Wembley.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a big occasion. Whoever you are, do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter whoever you are. I mean, I was fortunate. I had two England schoolboy games at Wembley and I'd also, you know, the 1991. So I'd got experience at Wembley. But it doesn't matter. You know, you still get really nervous, you know, and I think that was it. Players were finding their feet early on. You know, both teams were like that, you know.
Yeah.
Do you ever forget that you're playing at Wembley when you're there? Or is it always...
No, you're always there because the thing is, it's just such a... You know, you're not used to playing in a stadium that big, you know, with a crowd like that. So you always knew you were there. It was just you tried to handle it as best you can, really, you know.
Well, it's weird because sort of sat, stood sort of right behind the goal. So, you know, it wasn't the best view of the game. Quite far back as it was then, you know, behind the old dog track that was there.
Yeah.
Where were you, Brendan?
Bizarrely, I was in pretty much the same area that I was for the Sunderland game.
Yeah.
Pretty much exactly the same. I was high up
in
the seats, sort of near the corner flag that Summerby put in the corner for the Sean Taylor goal.
Yeah.
I was that side of things, and it was pretty much bang on where we were, weirdly.
Yeah.
But
I was over that way for the Sunderland game.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good atmosphere. I remember. I remember there was lots of flags going around.
Yeah, the big sort of banner one, didn't there?
Yeah, obviously. And it was. I mean, that didn't help my nerves. It was all.
Mm.
It was a really, really good, start. And it's one of those games that I still can never remember Leicester having a chance other than the three goals they scored.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. I don't think they did, to be fair. I can't remember making a save.
No, it was such a strange game. And I know we're probably going through the goals in a bit more detail, but the game was such an odd game because it never hinted at any point of what was going to come, of the fact that we were going to storm into a three-goal lead, of the fact that, you know, they were going to come back. It was just, you know, very, very odd. Very, very odd game, really. Mm-hmm.
It just went by, for me, it was just such a blur.
Mm.
And before I knew it, that first half, it was half time.
Mm.
Mm.
Then, okay, got to wait for 15 minutes. What's going on? And then, we'd score just before. I mean, we'll go through the goals. Obviously, the first one, it's really important. I mean, that goal in the 43rd minute for Hoddle. Mm. I mean, that the way that Maskell held the ball up there,
yeah.
And then just sort of flicked it back, flicked it through to Hoddle. It was, you know, that's perfect for him. He was that high up the pitch. No one was marking him. No one was less players near him.
No.
And just that great sort of side foot, calm finish.
No, he just stroked him in. He did that regular. Glenn used to do that in training. That used to annoy the hell out of me. Because he never used to, like some players really go and strike the ball hard. Glenn, it was all about his timing. And he was brilliant at that. You know, whichever foot he used. I also remember him striking one with his left foot when he first came to the club against Sunderland. You know, he just struck it. You know, he just strikes the ball so well.
That was, the start of that season.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
When he just first
came. That's so far out there, wasn't it? About 30 yards.
Yeah.
And
But he didn't seem to put any power behind it because his timing's so good.
Mm.
And that was the same with that goal. He just stroked that in. You know, Kevin Paul was nowhere near it, you know.
Mm. Because he seemed to be playing a lot higher up at Wembley, I think. And I think that's why he had so much time and space for that goal, because I think he'd always been more sort of sitting back, didn't he? And it's almost like a sweeper.
He was playing sweeper. That was his position, you know, so he could see what's going on in front and there. But once or twice he did. He stepped up in front. And then he could do something about it, you know.
But when he would step up, would then sort of Bowden and Sunby sort of drop back a bit more to give more of a back
well free, basically or? You'd got Colin and Thing anyway, and then you'd pull in one of your fullbacks, you know, so we were pretty solid anyway. I wasn't too worried about
it. You know, with Glenn being up pitch, then would you take on any sort of responsibilities to sort of get that together, the defence?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it's natural. You know, how you all take deal with it. Do you know what I mean? You just, if Glenn goes up, then Colin and Sean would be there, and you just put one of the fullbacks in if you need it. You know, if they've got two players up, then you just bring in one of your fullbacks that were, you know, instead of them bombing on, you know, you'd sit them on, sort of thing, you know.
Do you remember anything about that halftime team talk?
I haven't got a clue. No.
No.
It's a blur. It's a shame. Absolutely. It's a blur. Yeah. It's a difficult one, because what we got in, we just got in 1-0 up at half time. See, I cannot remember anything about that Wembley game.
Probably had to try and keep you warm, because you hadn't really had a lot to do for the first game.
I'd had nothing, do you know what I mean? And that was the daft thing about it, you know? I didn't realise that we were only 1-0 up at half time. I thought we'd scored more before half time.
Well, at least they did get a couple of goals straight after half time. Craig Maskell got the second for Town, full 7 minutes. I mean, it's probably the best and most underrated finish, I think, of any Swindon player.
Mm.
The way, I mean, he's threaded through by Moncur again, like in the Tranmere game. Maskell was yards from a blue shirt. This one. He's just, you know, it was right on the left hand side of the box, and it's just this sweet left foot finish, but just caught the ball and just whipped it right past Paul.
He used to do it.
It's just amazing, but it's just the way that he just pinged off the old far post in.
But he did. He used to knock, you know, like top spin on a game of tennis. He used to do that a lot, you know, where he used to strike with that left. He had a beautiful left peg on him, but invariably he did. He didn't sort of like strike and hit the ball straight. He always used to strike across it.
But it was, again, Brendan, you know, great angle.
Yeah, I was right in line with that. And it was one of those, there's two things that will always stick with me from this game. And perhaps there'll be time to talk about the second thing a bit later. But the first thing was that it seemed to go with completely the wrong foot, because he was so left-footed.
Yeah.
He sort of seemed to, you'd think, well, no, surely he'd go for your right to curl it past. But it just didn't seem to make sense that he went with his left. And I think there was some brilliant work by John Moncur to set up the game. And I think John Moncur seemed to be in and out of the team a lot that season. He was a great player. But in the playoffs and that final, he was just imperious. He was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And in that, a lot of the goals in that game all directly came from his sort of ability and his quick feet. But when he put the ball through to Maskell, he did have lots of time and space. And that noise, when it hits the post, that's one of the things that will always...
It just rattles in your
mind.
Yeah,
it's like a big sort of dunk.
Yeah.
And I don't think he could quite believe it, the way he went off and celebrated. But it was just an absolute fantastic finish. And that noise when it hit the post. And when I watched it back, only recently, I thought, well, it probably wasn't as loud as I remember it. But it is. When you watch it back in the video, it does make a really loud noise. It hits the post. It was just absolutely fantastic.
So, Tam were really in the ascendancy and really just couldn't believe what was happening, really, as he went 3-0 up.
Yeah.
Taylor's goal was... was it commentating that day? Was it Alan Parry again?
Yeah, I think it was,
You know, Swindon basically said, oh, that's it, the promised land. Swindon now,
yeah,
I think he said.
Exactly.
And again, the Leicester defence were just nowhere. As the ball was again Moncur again. Not the ball over, header, I think it was.
Yeah.
All the Leicester defenders just running out.
Yeah. And but then, Taylor.
Big Sean just launches himself.
Yeah. And he basically almost had to push Maskell out of the way because he was stood there as well. And and I think Alan Parry...
To be fair, you won't want to get in the way of Sean
Taylor.
No,
he certainly wouldn't.
Although, I've got to be honest, he got in the way of me once and I broke his arm at Middlesbrough. So, I think swings and roundabouts. But if that ball's there, you don't get in the way of Sean. Well, Kevin Paul didn't want to get in the way of Sean either, I think.
No, because I think Alan Parry says in the commentary something like, fortune favours the brave, and he did, and he just stuck it in. And I must admit, when that went in, I just thought, this is it. We're done.
Yeah. What was the timings on that anyway? What was the timings of Sean?
Only 54 minutes.
Oh, was it?
Was it?
Yeah, so still sort of 36 minutes to play. And then that next, it was 5 minutes later.
That they scored.
They scored Joachim. It's one that you couldn't do really much about, really, because who was it? Steve Walsh's header. Steve Walsh, defender, played up front that year, scored plenty of goals. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What's saying about that defender scoring plenty of goals? Taylor's was his first ink for the season that year. Fantastic return. But anyway, on Joachim's one, his header rebounded off the post.
Yeah.
That puts you out of the place.
Yeah.
Colin dropped back to the line, but Joachim reacted quickest to sort of stick it in.
Yeah,
I think Pleat refers to him as Joachim or something throughout the whole game or something bizarre like that.
David Pleat for you.
Yeah.
It was another 10 minutes until Leicester got the second, and that was one. It was Walsh who got this goal. It was a bit messy. Ball wasn't dealt with.
I think I was fouled by Joachim.
Then the rest.
If you look at that. I haven't looked at it again because, as I say, I haven't bothered looking at them. But I swear to this day, I was blocked by.
He deliberately moves into your path and leans like that, so you can't get you're going to go and clean Walsh out.
I'd have done it, and he's basically blocked me out.
Yeah. And it just means because I think when I watched it back, he deliberately angles himself. Which means that all your balance is totally off. Yeah. Whereas it would have been quite a comfortable either a punch or
But as well in the build up, a lot of the I don't know what was the occasion. Tango 1-0 down, Leicester really getting back into the game, but the defence were getting quite static. In their play, I don't know if it was just sort of them getting nervous at that time. Perhaps it was, but certainly conceding that second goal. Sent the alarm bells ringing.
Yeah, just a bit.
Just a bit. 1 minute later.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
One minute for a goal. Steve Thompson. Mm. Town defence were pretty... really clearing the ball at all. Mm. And he had plenty of space to... when the ball came down centre.
I think when I watched that goal again... It's a goal in passage of time that you can now really appreciate that it was a really good goal because Thompson just wrong foots the defence with his little move into the box and it gives you no chance, Fraser, with that. He just jabs it perfectly towards the post. But that still grates me that I think it was Whitlow that breaks and he goes to cross the ball and he's looking for a cross into the box, but he kind of miscues it, which puts the whole defence wrong, which of course Thompson just runs onto.
Yeah.
And just, it's a great finish, really. I wanted to die at that point, I think. I really couldn't cope with that.
Well, one person who had a big decision then, this is watching the footage on that's football documentary.
Yeah.
Camera really close up at the bench at that point. And as soon as the goal went in, Gorman turned to White. You're coming on the most important substitution in town's history.
Gets a goal chalky.
Yeah, but
gets a penalty chalky.
Yeah, he had to wait a bit. He got nervous, but the game settled out then.
Leicester didn't have another chance.
No, they didn't actually.
They sort of like, I think that was their final throw of the dice, really. I think they just, they'd given everything. You know, got fantastic to get back into 3-3 But I think that, that then, they went quiet again. You know, and I think you, you could actually physically see that.
Because, you know, one half of me thought, well, this is it. They're just going to continue. They're going to steamroller us now. But they didn't. They just seemed
to... We thought that as well. But they didn't.
Was there any on-field chat when their third goal went in? Was there, or was it just you kind of just looking at each other thinking, oh, my
God.
What's
going on?
What's happening? You know what I mean? After being 3-0 3-0 but it was just, you know, like you say, I think if they'd have continued to play how they'd done previous, then I think we could have been struggling. Because we all thought they were going to come on and continue with that, and they didn't. And then we slowly but surely got ourselves back on our feet. And then it was a through ball through to Chalky, wasn't it?
It was. And
he swears he was touched anyway.
Yeah, he was touched. I mean, looking back at the video, I mean, on the day, if it happened so quickly, you know, well, that's a penalty. You know, you take that. But, you know, looking back at the video, I mean, he was touched. But, it was as much, you know, obviously Chalky won the penalty, but it was as much Kevin Paul's mistake in launching himself forwards, throwing himself forward, because of the way, it was David Ellery, ref that day, from his position where he was behind Chalky, it's the only, you know, blocked view. And if you're seeing a goalkeeper coming out and then a player clattering down, you're only going to come to a conclusion that there's been a bit of a conflict, conflict there. And to be honest, Paul didn't need to do that at all.
Next, there's a defender on Chalky's shoulder.
No, there was,
So as much as Leicester can complain about that, which they did for many years afterwards.
Oh, they'll still be complaining about it now,
Their fanzine had a great great bit of cartoon work on the front of their one of their editions. I don't know whether it was immediately afterwards, but it's a fantastic cartoon of Chalky diving. And so if you Google it, it's really, really good picture. And I know quite a few Leicester fans, and there's lots of laughing and joking about it now, but I think, you know,
at the time,
it would have been a sickener, I think.
But then, I mean, you know, for them Bowden to step up, take that penalty in front of all the Swindon fans.
I mean, to be fair, out of anyone that I've ever played with, been involved with, you know, he was the most cool, calm, collected. He's the one person I'd want to take a penalty out of all the players I've played with, because he was, you know, just don't remind him of the Welsh one.
Against Romania. About a year or two after. Yeah, it could have taken them to the World Cup. It was actually, it would have been a year later. Or, a couple of months later.
I think it would have been.
World Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he saved it for the right team anyway, do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
But he was on such a purple patch that season because he'd gone through so many games where he'd scored. Yeah, I always found, I don't think I remember being nervous when he was, I just knew he was going to score because, you know, it seemed to score at such vital times. And I always remember one of my favourite ever games I went to was away at Sunderland for Terry Butcher's debut as a manager for Sunderland. And I went with a Geordie Newcastle fan. We stood in the Sunderland end. And that was the day they missed two penalties. If you remember that.
Well, save one, didn't I?
You saved one.
I saved one. They missed the other one.
They missed the second one. I think Kevin Ball missed the second one. And, of course, we're in the Sunderland end. And I was like, trying not to go nuts.
That was...
And that was another Bowden goal that won us that game. That was... But that was a... You know, I think that was a very much... They had a new manager. It was backs against the wall. And I think you made some fantastic saves in that one, Fraser, to keep us in it early on. And then Bowden scored, so I was always confident when he got the penalty that he was
gonna do it.
He was gonna score, and
I mean, what you're saying there, but obviously Leicester, they couldn't really give anything more after their third goal, and you know, Town getting fourth, then that killed it.
I think it did, Dan. I think that was it. We were just playing out for time then. I think even they knew then that we'd done it. So
and then we did do it. Got it. These celebrations again. I mean, that never known anything like it. When that final whistle went,
I still think it was the relief to be honest. After the relief of winning the game after we'd gone 3-3 so you got the relief of that. But I think for several of us, it was the relief of we're justified. We're going back to the Premiership after what happened in 1990. I think that was a lot of it, and it was more rather than pure, there was pure elation. There was a, you know, obviously related that we'd won, but I think there was a lot of me at the time, you know, it was a matter of relief that, you know, we'd finally going back up there with no issues. You know what I mean? We will be going back up to the Premiership.
Yeah.
We will be going to Old Trafford. We will be going to Highbury. We will be going, you know, Anfield, you know. So I think that was the thing. That was my overwhelming thought after the game.
Yeah. I just didn't want to leave the stadium.
No, I kind of cracked, I think, because I think the tension of the day and the fact we sort of threw it all away. And it's one of those things where I didn't expect it to happen, but when the final whistle went, I'd sort of just, you know, I just almost went, burst into tears. It was, it was, didn't like I was going to think, oh, I'm going to cry. It just happened. It was just like,
I was just numb. I was just
scared. Yeah, it was just, it was just crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
But what was really interesting then is that all the Leicester fans stayed behind as well at the other end. You don't find that now at Wembley on the big games. Everyone's filters out like what we did after losing our couple of times.
Yeah.
But the whole ground was, I mean, it's such a fantastic match. Yeah. Watch, obviously, for you to be part of. And everyone came and sort of celebrated that. I mean, you know, obviously, collect the trophy, great, you know, playoffs, I don't know why they have a trophy really, just get promoted.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the changing rooms, celebration start.
Oh, the champagne goes flying now then, yeah.
Well, I was watching a video and you're pretty much straight back to Swindon quite soon.
There's a big room that the families were in the old Wembley.
Yeah.
So we had the celebration in the changing rooms. Then we went straight up to that room. We had a few drinks and I think we left pretty much soon after that.
Yeah.
And then we went straight to the De Vere.
Mm.
And then I think a few more drinks were drunk at the De Vere. I think just a couple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we had a bit of a celebration at the De Vere when we got back.
And this is the thing that I miss, because I was going back down to Dorset.
Mm.
So we drove down the M3 or whatever it was. Down there, so I missed
The best thing was coming back to Swindon.
Yeah.
You know, because you got the people, you know, all on the bridges when you come in. You know, we had the lads were out the blooming sunroof of the coach.
Mm.
You know, I don't know how Ross McLaren actually managed to get out of the sunroof, but he did. But yeah, all the lads were out there, and that was the thing, you know, coming down Queen's Drive with everyone on the side, and the cars with all the flag, you know, the scarves and that. That's the bit that you never ever forget. That you never forget.
So that's the bit that's just missing from my memories. And
is that,
you know, seeing all the pictures, seeing the videos, and as you say, just to see town. And also, I also missed the victory parade as well.
Oh yeah,
so I was away out of the way for that long.
It doesn't happen too often in life. Do you know what I mean? When especially even in, you know, football. You know, I've been lucky. I've done the open bus ride on several occasions. You know, and it's great. You know, because it's just something you're not used to. Do you know what I mean? And so to be involved in something like that, where you go, you do the civic reception.
But the whole town was out, wasn't it? It wasn't like, I mean, I was there. You know, it was the promotion in '96.
Mm.
You know, you did open top bus parade and it was quite quiet really.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was not the same thing.
No, it's not the same. Well, it was a third division.
Everyone was watching on the telly. It's just one match, one big event. Everyone was in it together as well.
Yeah, yeah. But then we took 30,000, didn't we? We took 30,000 to Wembley.
Mm.
You know, the average crowd is, you know, was probably 9 or 10,000 a year. But we actually took 30,000 to Wembley, which was great, really. Do you know what I mean?
Because I think that was one of the second things that always stay with me is when you said about a lot of the Leicester fans staying behind after the final whistle was. And when we eventually did come out, there was quite a few Leicester fans around. And I was amazed that there was a few of them did come up to me and say, well done, great game. You know, it was a great, you know, we lost, but it was a great game. And it was really quite nice. And we were stuck in the car park for absolutely ages, and there was one moment of extreme unpleasantness between some Swindons and Leicester fans, and I don't know if this is appropriate, you can edit this out, but there was a fantastic moment where I was in the car with, I think it went with my mum and dad, and there was a Swindon coach here, and there was a Leicester coach the other side.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of goading going on between the Swindon coach and the Leicester coach, and there was this one guy, and he was pretty, he looked pretty drunk in the Leicester, and he was taking great umbrage to all this sort of thing. So he started undoing his belt And I thought, oh, here we go. He's going to pull the old Mooney at the Swindon fans. But he didn't. He dropped his dropped everything and proceeded to mash his sort of greasy genitalia against the window again in front of all the Swindon fans, and it was
I'm not going to edit that out.
No, it was just one of those moments that was just so funny, and the Swindon fans just sort of just basically held up their little fingers like that and just waving that over like that. It was just and that was probably the only bit of sort of hassle I saw
it was something in the car park on my parents parked the car next to Jimmy Greaves, basically. So they got him Jimmy Greaves. He was there that day, so it was one of the best games he's ever seen. Got him the autograph done. Yeah. That was quite good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And, you know, and I don't know, if I'd been the other way around, I probably would have been a bit annoyed leaving the ground. But there seemed to be a fair lot of Leicester fans that were quite good by all. So, yeah, it was just amazing. And, yeah. I came home via Queen's Drive and all that sort of stuff, that was just absolutely chock full of people. I think I saw the same guy playing up Where We Belong, going back on that way as well. Yeah, but it was it was on all the motorway bridges and everything, wasn't it? Yeah. It was just people all over the place. It was fantastic.
No, I wish I was part of that. I mean, again, sort of 20 years on, I can't believe 20 years has passed.
Mm. So, yeah, tell me about it.
Mm. I mean, if only we can experience that again at town.
Yeah,
can't see it in the future. It's great to have been part of it.
Well, it is. I mean, it'd be nice for us, you know, after what we've been through the last few years, to get up to the Championship again.
Yeah,
you know, and be able to, because out of the 12 years I was at the club, we spent 9 in the Championship.
Yeah,
you know, we had that one great season in the Premiership. The problem is nowadays is the money situation is. Is incredible, you know. I mean, the money that's in the Premiership, the Championship, even, you know, you need an obscene amount of money just to compete, it's a shame, really. You know, something needs to be done, which will, you know, keep things more of an even keel.
Yeah, but a lot of clubs have got up there. Swansea, have done it. In a right way, built over.
Well, Wigan as well. You know, they've been in there. Obviously, they've come out now. Yeah. It's just the ones that seem to have overdone it, then go into freefall, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, look at the way what's happened with, you know, the awful with Portsmouth, you know, and you look at Wolves now, Wolves in the third tier of football, you know. Mm. But then not so long ago, Man City were there, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was still playing, Man City were in the third tier of English football. So, you know, it happens to the best of them, and, you know, you hope that they bounce back, because you don't want to see clubs like that.
No.
You know?
No.
So, Brendan, do you think Town will be back up that way anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, it's not probably a popular theory, but I am quite excited about next year. I'm kind of excited about the whole sort of concentrate perhaps more on youth and bring players through rather than buying players in and giving them overinflated contracts and things. Mm. It's just not... just wasn't sustainable when De Canio was doing it. I mean, it was great. We had a great season last year. But I think a lot of people had a lot of concerns about the way things were going. And I think Kevin McDonald he ticked all my boxes when he was appointed, and the fact that he was experienced, but yet had not been sacked from numerous other clubs and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I was really pleased when he was appointed. And a lot of people seem to have it in for him. But I think hopefully in time, if he's given the time, especially to build the club up again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to take a lot of building. You know, we're you know, I can't say too much because obviously I'm a lot more involved now. But basically, you know, we're going to live with the after effects of the previous regime for at least another year, if not 2 years. Mm. If we can... there's one or two things going on at the moment which hasn't come out yet, which could be massively positive for us, as far as getting some very good players to come into the club. You know, there isn't going to be the money to go out and splash out on players, so we have to develop. You know, when Kevin's come in, we've got a lot of the younger players involved, and we've got some very good young players coming through. You know, if we can keep them, you know, the likes of the two Thompson boys, obviously Miles Storey, hopefully he can stay injury free. You know, you've got those sort of lads. We've got some younger lads coming through from the academy from before, that obviously were on the bench. You know, if they mature, hopefully, as you know, under the guidance of Kevin and Mark Cooper, then I think we've got, you know, we've got a great fighting chance. But it's going to take a bit of time. We need to get, you know, the high inflated prices or wages as you know, of players that are on. You know, we need to get those down to a level that is going to be sustainable, and that the club can become a sustainable business. Where, you know, because I certainly don't want to see us the yo-yo in again. You know, from boom to bust. Yeah, we've got to build and build for the future and be sustainable. And I want to see players desperate to play for this club. And if we've got young lads coming through that are Swindon boys, then, you know, we want the passion for the club. Yeah. You know, we all had that when we were younger, and it was either the lads that were local boys or the lads like me and Alan that came from bigger clubs that had a point to prove.
Yeah.
And we all wanted to do it for the club, and it wasn't certainly wasn't for the money in those days. Yeah. And, you know, we were successful under that. Lou brought some fantastic lads down here. You know, and I think if Kevin's given the opportunity to bring some good players in, but obviously the problem is that they might not want to come because we're not going to pay the wages that they can get elsewhere. You know, that's the only thing, that the negative side of it.
Yeah.
But I think if he's given the opportunity to work with the young kids that are already here coming through, then who knows what we can achieve.
Well, great. Well, thanks to you both for coming here, for being on the podcast. Some great memories that we've gone over tonight. So hope that you had sort of similar experiences of the game, and hopefully Swindon will be back there very, very soon, fighting for promotion, particularly maybe one day back to the Premier League. But for those who are there, you can say you were there at Wembley. So thanks for listening. Speak to you soon on podcast.